One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Today's episode is going to be about genies, as you may have guessed from the intro music. Adventurous piece of music, I know, but...
It'll do for now.
Right, so before we get into the genies, a couple of little things just to run through. We've got a listener story coming up at the end of the show, so stay tuned for that. Reviews. I know it's a ball ache to log into iTunes and leave reviews. I've done it myself, Scared Podcast, Hillbilly Horror Stories, The Whatcast. So I know it can be a bollock, but if you get a chance and you're willing, then please, it makes a massive difference to the algorithms, the searches and shit. I won't bore you with all that shit. So that's reviews. Subscribe. I know it sounds obvious, but I know a lot of you listen to these as I do. I listen when I'm driving, and then obviously some people listen at the gym and stuff like that, and obviously at work. You know, you hear me saying this, but then obviously by the time you get home, you forgot about it. So if you can... remember, if you just say subscribe 3 times out loud, subscribe, 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 then the Candyman will appear. No, not the Candyman. Now, if you say it 3 times, apparently that helps you to remember, you know. So same in reviews. I guess you could say review 3 times. I say it all the time, don't I? So that's reviews, that's subscribing. Hopefully you can join us on Facebook and then we can discuss the paranormal topics that we bring up in the shows, and obviously then, you know, your guys' paranormal experiences, we can talk about them, which will be great. The link to that will be in the show notes, as well as the website. T-shirts, we've got 2 designs, 2 logos at the moment ready to go for the T-shirt. Again, we'll post them up on Twitter and Facebook, and then you can decide which one you prefer. As regarding T-shirts, if anyone can support us with a donation, whether it be $1 or £1 or whatever, even that will help, you know, massively towards the production of the T-shirts, because obviously it's going to set us back a bit. Anyone that makes a donation, incidentally, will get a discount on the T-shirt, so you're not paying twice, okay? Just make that clear. Because obviously I support other podcasts by buying T-shirts, but we haven't gotten T-shirts yet, so I know it's difficult. But yeah, so if you do make a donation, that'll come off the cost of your T-shirt. Okay, so that's easy enough. I think we've covered everything. Just want to say thank you to Amber for the logos. Obviously, you'll see me on Facebook as... You'll see Amber as well, but you'll see me on Facebook as Dick Turpin, because I didn't want to use my real name because it told me I had to, you know, Rebel and all that shit. So that's that. Again, if you've got any stories for the show, please send them our way. We look forward to hearing from you. Or if you've just got any feedback in general, you know, just email me or whatever. I'm easy to get hold of. And incidentally, your emails do come through to me. If you send an email that's a question or feedback for Andy, then just mention that in the email. Otherwise, I'll reply to them all rather than him, just so you know. Yeah, one last thing. We are on the Hillbilly Horror Stories tomorrow night, doing the collaboration on Rendlesham Forest case, the UFO incident that happened down there. So that should be ace. They're great people, so it should be a fucking laugh. So hopefully you'll all tune into that. So let's get on with the show. So what we got on Genies then?
Well, I did quite a lot of research last week because, you know, I've always been, you know, looking into this, and you've seen on television the cartoons and, you know, Arabian Nights, you know, and all this stuff. And I always want to know where the mythology from Genies was. So I looked and I dug, and I came up with some good stuff. And it's obviously, I even went further. It says, according to the Quran, God created 3 sapient beings. Now, there's human, angels, and the jinn. Now, this is what the genie's another name for a genie is a jinn, which sometimes relates to demons, entities, you know, or low astral. Anyway, he says that
jinn basically being a spirit.
Yeah. But obviously, the jinn, you can have a good jinn and you can have a bad one as well. So, you know,
so like
yin and yang, you know, as above, so below.
Western culture just turned the jinn into genie, didn't they?
Yeah. Anyway, it said that angels were made from pure light, while the humans were made from clay and water. Well, obviously, you can go back and you can find references that we made, from clay and whatever, you know. So,
we are.
Yeah. And, but it said the jinn, also known as genie, they was created from smokeless and smoke and scorching fire. Now, most likely, this is where you get this, you know, with the lamp, the smoke comes out first, and then you get the genie appear. So, obviously, there's maybe something to this. They also to believe to live in a parallel dimension with the ability to enter our world and even interact with humanity. I was digging a bit more, and I've actually came up to the six genie classifications of various genies. This is quite interesting. I thought I'd tell you listeners about it. One of them is called the ghoul. Now, these are shape-shifting, cannibalistic, and blood-drinking creatures that feed on the flesh of human beings.
I know a few of them.
Yeah. There's another one called the Ifrit. Now, cited only once in the Quran, it is an evil and powerful demon that is known for its strength and cunning and is difficult to control.
You know, at the bottom of this list, it's going to say, don't read these names, innit?
Well, yeah, but I'm going to anyway. You know what I mean? I'm going to read them anyway. You got the Jann, which is the shapeshifters who live in the desert. And these entities have protected armies they deem righteous in the past while impeding upon those they deem unworthy.
So is that... So that's basically saying that it used to be a person, then.
Yeah, obviously these people they're saying that these genies or the jinn they live in a parallel universe to us, you know, but they can come in any time and interact. Then you've got the Marid, which they reckon is the most powerful type of genie with wish granting abilities to mortals. Now I have done a lot of research and I've checked it, and I'm trying to find out why three wishes, why only three, why not, why one, why two, and I can't. I've looked at some stuff and it's not...
Maybe three wishes is just a modern concept.
Obviously, I think it's a mythology from the Arabian Nights.
Maybe it just gives you a wish.
Aladdin the lamp and three wishes, whatever, you know. The next one is called the Nasnas. And this one's a hybrid or human-like and animal-like forms. They are considered among the weakest type of genies. The last ones are called the Shaitan or the Iblis. Now, this one's a rebellious and malevolent genie associated with demonic forces. I've been looking around. According to Islam, this genie refused to bow to Adam and was cast out of paradise. It has the power to cast evil suggestions into the chest of humans.
So do the other genies live in paradise then?
No, what it's saying is the class of is different. I mean, I thought it was just one genie. You know, that's it. One comes out, different form, whatever. But it's different class, different kind of... classifications of these, but these entities, they live in a different reality from us, but they can come into reality anytime they want.
Quite perceptive, you know, isn't it? It's like when you look at these religious texts or ancient texts,
there is some findings in them because
how close they are to reality, you know, like.
But how do we class reality? We think reality is
from
real.
Perspective now. Yeah. It's like when they say, "Oh, everything's made of energy," and we, you know, and all that shit. Now we're finding out everything is fucking made of energy. So it's all going back to this. It's like there'll be nothing if stars didn't explode.
Everything's energy. I mean, I've always said that this reality or every reality to me is a holiday. You know, it's an experience. You know, it's like you go to a holiday and you say, "Well, I want so and so on the forest with beauty. I want to spend the night in the woods and that." And it's real. You see on Star Trek, don't you, where they can actually interact with. It's all energy.
Yeah, but they never go in there and say, "I want Angelina Jolie."
Well, they won't show you what I'm telling you. You know,
maybe.
You know,
that's late night.
Star Trek. You know, after 10 o'clock is it watershed? You know. I don't know what I'd ask for, but I'm not saying. So, yeah, I did check. It says, can we control them? So, once a genie... Yeah. I mean, I think the lamp's a myth. I think the genie's real. Yeah. I think the lamps are just a myth.
No, I think, yeah, I do. I think,
I think what it's saying is when the smoke comes out from the lamp, it's because these beings are made from smoke and fire.
Well, I've got two stories on that. I got, first of all, the can we control them aspect of it?
Yeah.
Well, on the Shadow Man episode I did a few weeks ago, he's talking about this modern day phenomenon where, well, people think it's a modern day phenomenon where they're seeing this Shadow Man with a wide brim hat.
They get reported all this time,
and it's like, and you know, they'll just say, "Oh yeah, I see a Shadow Man. He had a hat on." Now the Shadow Man I saw didn't have a hat, as far as I could tell. But people, and this is like getting really, really, it's gathering steam, and you know, a lot of people are reporting it. But when I was looking into that, then I found a passage in the Quran which talks about a jinn wearing a hat, and it actually says in there, "There's two ways to." To dissolve the jinn or get rid of the jinn, essentially, is wants to quote this prayer, which I think translates into English as the dawn prayer or something like that. I'm not quite sure, but it's something like that. That'll get rid of it. Or it's to knock its hat off, and if you knock its hat off, it'll grant you wishes.
That's right. So, so obviously again, it's got a different.
So again, these people. But the thing is, with that, which is alarming, if you like, is that the fact that people in Western culture know nothing about the Quran. I mean, you know.
So what we're saying is, then the lamp is actually the hat.
Well, no, no.
We're saying because I mean, in all different cultures, you've got the genie, and the genie its power's the lamp.
Maybe I mean
the power's the lamp, isn't it? Yeah. When it comes out of the lamp. It lives in the lamp, so it's got its power. So everyone's got the lamp has the power. Now, if you're saying it's
knocking out. Yeah.
So knocking out, you chuck away the
lamp. The thing I find crazy is that people who have no knowledge of the Quran, like I say, people who live in. You know, wherever Western cultures, you know, just in general, they don't like here. You know, people here or in America or wherever you want to go, they don't necessarily know any of the passages in the Quran.
No, they don't.
And yet they're saying exactly the same things. They're seeing exactly the same things as what's been reported thousands of years ago in the Quran. So, to me, that's telling me that there's something to it. These shadow people we're seeing now is what the. Islam refers to as the jinn.
I did a bit of digging as well, and it says here that though the jinns can be conjured by performing magical rites, which are, again it's a ritual stuff, they are apparently very difficult to control. Now, according to some very ancient text, the only individual who ever had complete power over a genie was King
Aladdin.
Solomon. King Solomon,
what
apparently. Yeah, although no, but I'm talking bullshit and all. You know, we'll go back to Arabian Nights, you know, size of an elephant, you know. So no,
King Solomon,
the only person who ever had the complete power over a genie was King Solomon. He was bestowed with a ring made of copper and iron, obviously fire and whatever. This enabled him not to only subdue the genie but also create protection against their powers. Legends has it talk of Solomon summoning the genie. To build the first temple, as well as the entire city of Jerusalem, so take that as you will, as you will. So, but apparently he was the only person to date. So it says.
But that seems.
Seems
strange that a person of that renowned and that you know the wealth that he would have had, he's chosen to wear a what was it, copper and iron ring.
Well, obviously, it's again. Yeah.
So it's a ritual. He totally believed in what he was.
You wear certain garments for certain rituals. You do certain stuff for rituals.
But he wasn't wearing that for fashion, then, was he?
No, that's what I mean.
He's wearing that because he absolutely believes that.
Maybe the ring was not to summon the genies. Maybe it was for protection. You know,
control.
Control. Obviously, yeah. So, I mean, I think with this,
I wonder if there's anybody out there who obviously knows the Quran better than we do, who can.
Absolutely, because
you know, we've looked at it, haven't we?
The Quran's full of it. I've never read the Bible, and tell us what
this is all about. That'd be great.
I mean, you might have, you know, you people out there, you might have more. You think, oh God, I know this. I heard the so and so. Well, you know, come on the show, let us know. You know, we'll even bring you on the show. You know, absolutely. But this goes back to ancient Mesopotamia, or it goes back everything, you know. But I think what I've really got from here is that the genie or the jinn is real, and it's still going on today, but the lamp is a myth. I think it's, as you said before, when the shadow people with his hat and the power, maybe that the lamp was the genius power. Mm. You know, that's where he stayed.
It was the smell that was associated with.
Yeah. Well, obviously, because as it goes, if the jinn or the genies were made from smoke and fire, then that's what I'll say.
I'll tell you. I'll let you finish and I'll tell you a story.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it's. Sorry. It's learned that one. Got a cold. Right. That wasn't I. I came onto the lamp and all that, and I said we were talking about three wishes. Apparently, it says once the three wishes are complete, the genie re-enters the bottle and will not be released again. So once you've had your three wishes and you've got whatever you wanted, you cannot use that genie no more. It's against all. That's it. A master can never be a master again. So having someone give the lamp back to them is futile. So, you know, if you had a few wishes and you found the lamp again, you couldn't do it. Once you had that genie, that's it. It says, also genies, more or less, evil, if not simply disgruntled at being locked in a bottle lamp. So they will distort wishes and twist your words around to cause demonic-like mischief.
So you're not going to
get... So we're talking here again.
So you've got to be really careful what you wish for, because it's going to give
I think maybe that's where the word comes from, you know. You know, actually, careful be careful what you wish for. You know, it's possible because they can't just... I want £1 million. Is that all you want? £1 million? What £1 million for? What's that £1 million for? Oh, so and so. So two wishes.
You didn't say £1 million of.
Of. Yeah, you want £1 million
of money, did you? So.
You could say
£1 million of flour.
Yeah. £1 million. I want £1 million on this. I want £1 million of that. £1 million of that. Well, that's your three wishes.
Yeah.
Bang. You know.
If I'm wishing, I'm not wishing for £1 million. I'm wishing for £1 billion. What would you wish for?
Well, I don't know.
I know one thing I won't be wishing for: world peace.
Well, that never
waste of time that would be.
Well, I'll waste time.
We get world peace for about 5 minutes.
I don't think
a
genie can do that. I don't think they could do that.
I think if it could, it would have done it by now.
Yeah, there's. He said, "Hang on a bit." Say, although the odds are slim, such as a peace would. That's weird. That, but he said, you can't wish for world peace because he can't give that. There are only three wishes you cannot wish for, right?
Money.
Three wishes. You can't wish to be a higher being,
a bigger
dog, such as a god. You can't say, I wish to be a god. You can't do that, right?
I don't want to be a god.
Or an angel, whatever. No, not really.
Been done that.
Yeah. He said, also, you can't wish death on any living creature, whether it be human, animal, or alien, unless in self-defense.
Do that anyway.
Yeah, no. Yeah. But this also includes higher beings, such as God, angels, and genies, etc.
You can't wish for God to be dead.
Yeah. No.
Because that would be like self-fulfilling prophecy anyway, wouldn't it?
Well, no, but you can't do that. And the last one, you can't wish for more wishes or infinite wishes. So you've only got three.
That would be the thing. You do two wishes, they say, I want 10 more, you bastard.
I want 10 more. No,
and he just says,
got three, that's
fuck
it.
Fuck off,
yeah.
I'm back in my bottle.
Yeah. And you can't say more wishes or infinite wishes. Although you can wish for the genie to become your servant.
Mm.
So that's it. Oh, but then you're releasing him from his lamp, aren't you?
Yeah. So he becomes.
You're my servant.
I'm sure, X Files did a show.
Similar to this.
I think that's what the last wish was. It Mulder who got the wishes, and he actually wished the genie.
I didn't watch
to be,
that one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I heard about it.
I'm sure the last one he wished. Was it the first one? It might have been the first one. He wished for the genie to be human, I guess.
Yeah, but
is that what a genie wants? Then? Is that what the genie wants? Does it want to be human?
No.
So if you wished it to be human, you'd be pretty fucking angry at
it. Well, I mean, I was reading bits about it, and it says, obviously, you see a lamp, you think it's a bit fucking tight, a lamp, you know what I mean? But in there, it's like it's got a whole deck. Mm. It's got a whole new world in there. You know, it lives in there.
TARDIS.
It lives there. Yeah, like a TARDIS, yeah.
Does it tell you what the genie looks like, the djinn looks like?
It's like I say,
the only passage I've seen is that one that I talked about.
It'll come out as what you think a genie will look like. So you'll see a genie as a woman. It'll come out as a woman. If it comes out a big black. If a woman got it, and it'll come out like Batista or something like big butch and you know, it'll come out as what you want it. You know, but it's the wishes again. He said you can't wish for more, which we know about.
If a genie come here right now and said to me, "There's three wishes. What do you want?" I'd still be here next week trying to think, because especially with it tricking you as well.
Yeah, I have found that as well. It does trick you. You know, it's not nothing like the movies, you know, where I can give you this and this and you know what I mean.
Maybe I'd go to...
What if you had one wish and then you lost a lamp?
Mm.
But you had two wishes left?
Well, I guess the next person who fires the lamp has to go and find you, don't it? Because he can't.
I don't know. Does it carry on?
I don't know. Can it do more?
Does it end it? Say, well, he had one wish. Yeah. Sod him. And I'll be honest with him. Does the lamp come back to you? Do you have your three wishes? I don't know. I think the three wishes are a myth. I really do. I think the lamp's a myth. I think the three wishes are a myth. The genie or the djinn? No, I do believe in that.
Well, it has to live somewhere, doesn't it? Whether it's a bottle or a lamp or. Well, there's a person.
They do live in a different reality, yeah. A different.
And obviously, part. You can conjure them up, and that's what.
This is what I'm saying. Ritual. Do, yeah. That's where King Solomon comes from, you know.
And it's funny, all these people who partake in all these rituals and all the rest of it are fucking like the wealthiest people in the world.
Yeah,
so,
of course, yeah. They are. I wonder why.
Yeah, maybe there's something to it.
Maybe they'll ask you for wealth.
But yeah, I had a friend who was married to a Muslim chap, and things started happening in their house. And he said, she was wondering what, you know, she just thought poltergeist and all that. And he actually said to her, no, it's a djinn. And she didn't know what that was. And she's saying, well, what's a djinn and all that? And he obviously explained what a djinn was and that. But she was smelling, before she knew all this, what it was going on and that, she was smelling fires all the time. And she was looking around the house, looking at plug sockets and all the rest of it. You know, what's on fire? Unplugging everything. She'd go out of the room. A couple of days later, she'd come back in the room and then she'd smell fire, smoke, you know. Anyway, obviously, she told him. And he was on business back and forth to Nigeria. So he wasn't there all the time. And so he'd be coming back and then she'd be telling him. And then he said, oh, it's a djinn. And they had to get the house blessed or whatever they're doing. They got rid of it.
Maybe it's the same again. You know, it said that the creator from fire and smoke from fire. So the smoke maybe has come from there. You know,
she was a bit like depressed at the time or down or whatever. And
if it's evil, latched onto it at that point. Yeah, that's what most evil entities do. You know, they sense that if someone's really down, that's what they like vampires anyway. They feed off your negative energy. You know, so if you're down, if you're a drug addict or something, you're shooting up and you're missing out, you know, an evil entity will dive on you because, you know, you're emitting negative energy. You know, it's having a feast.
It seems
it's
like
having a banquet, you know. So I got this. I've been looking for stories for these, the genie or the djinn. And I only found really one. There was a couple, but not really. And I found this one, gentleman in Bangladesh. Now we're going from March 2009 when this was posted. I have tried to email this gentleman, but either it doesn't exist no more or whatever, but I'm going to tell this story anyway, which I found fascinating. Right, his real name, if I can pronounce this, you know, he's called Tassin Limyat Hacker, and I do apologize if I got it wrong, but this is his story on the genie or the djinn. Now these people apparently in Bangladesh, they're real. Not just this gentleman here, it happens all over, and they've got their different kind of takes and different rituals to get rid of them or whatever. Anyway, this gentleman says, you all read about the magical genie of Aladdin. Well, these genies do exist, but they don't live in all lamps, and they are also not magical, but they have some supernatural powers, like they can go through walls, change forms, take over human bodies, etc. They are related to angels and demons. Some of them are good and some of them are bad. Sometimes we make mistakes by mentioning bad genies as demons and good ones as angels. But genies are different from angels and demons, as genies are earthly creatures. In my country, Bangladesh, this genie is known as djinn. Good ones don't bother us, but bad ones interfere in our lives. Believe me, these creatures are real. I know many stories about djinns. My family and I have some experience too. And I'll just tell this quick story. Well, as a kid, when I was about 10 or 11, one evening my younger brother came down screaming from upstairs. He burst into my bedroom, which was downstairs, and sat on my bed panting. At that time, my father and mother came into my room. Right, seeing him like that, they were worried and asked him what happened. He said he saw a totally white man standing beside the maidservant's bedroom. Our maidservant's room is beside the staircase. We took it all seriously because another incident happened 2 days before. That is, one night, two cats were fighting and making terrible noises. But I've had cats before.
Well, like five in the
yeah, I know, man. Yep. Anyway, My mother chanted, "If you're a djinn, then go away." These words because djinn like to take forms of cats, especially black cats. Also, it is believed that if you chant these words three times, then the djinn will go away. As we chanted these words, the cats left the place. I don't know. Just as some, they we chanted. What was it? If you go and that doesn't say what chant it was, but just say we did the same chant.
Best bit out.
Yeah, I know that. I know. We were both amazed and frightened at the time. As soon as they chanted this stuff, the cats just disappeared. Gone. Quite weird.
Could just have been cats then.
No. Anyway, some days later, after that, I was going upstairs and suddenly I felt there was another presence. So I looked around myself and what I saw made me want to faint. I saw a totally white figure standing in front of our servant's room. So it was obviously quite up and wealthy. I mean, as I was running down the stairs, I nearly fell two times as my eyes were closed. However, I went to my mum's room and explained everything to her. At that time, my brother was there. He said that he had also seen the same figure that day. I am sure that is not a coincidence. But that after that incident of mine, we didn't see the figure again. But what they do keep saying in the rooms all the time, we keep seeing smoke. Now, smoke keeps coming back. We keep seeing smoke in certain areas of the room. Smoke comes up, people come out of the smoke. You know what I mean? So it's obviously, we search every new room for the fires and that, but there's nothing there. We also got a strange smell of perfume along with the smoke.
Absolutely.
I believe that there is a djinn in our house, as these are the characteristics of a djinn. And if there is a good smell of perfume, then it is believed that the djinn is good. So I think the djinn was good, as it did me no harm. Thanks for reading. So, I mean, I've just read that kind of quite hastily.
I think
what you're saying is that
it parallels everything we know in Western culture about ghosts.
Yeah, but what you're saying is the smoke, and then somebody comes out of smoke, and then ghosts. You know, I mean, obviously with the cats, what they're saying is djinn can take certain forms. But apparently, it does my head in that.
Five in the morning.
Fuck
off, you bastards. I'm going to get a water pistol.
In America, they just get shotgun in America, don't they? So, yeah, but obviously, so these people in Bangladesh, I mean, these people must be kind of, you know, wealthy-ish because they've got servant quarters, so, you know. But that's one of the stories, but from Bangladesh. So thank you for your story, anyway.
It's funny you know, it all ties in with what we know about ghosts here. It's like, when people go ghost hunting, they see mists, they see...
smoke.
And when we're talking about angels and demons, and he's saying it there, we're talking about the same entity, but we're just giving it different names.
So it could be demon. It's always a demon. It's not a demon. It could be grandmother.
That's what he's saying. We always see a ghost, or we presume a ghost or some sort of entity to be either good or bad. And we give them different categories. So angels are all good, demons are all bad. But what he's saying is they're all demons, but you've just got a choice. A good. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
Yeah, sometimes he's saying if it smells perfume, then smell perfume.
Because when I used to get hauntings, my other house, sometimes you'd open the room, you'd walk in, and it'd be that foul smell like it smelled like fucking rotten garbage.
You'd
never be able to get that room clean again.
Yeah,
it's that sort of smell. You'd shut the door, you'd walk away, you'd open the door again, and it'd be gone.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
And that's, as soon as I smelled that smell, I knew something had happened in that house that day.
Yeah.
And sure as shit, something had happened.
Yeah.
Like, you know, catastrophic. I was laid in bed one night, I smelled that smell. I thought, went to brush my teeth, gets back in bed, and I'm thinking, I know something's going to happen. Here's this rattling. I heard this fucking rattling at the end of my bed. End of my bedroom.
I've heard that before.
And I fuck it.
You know, but there's nothing wrong in that. What it is every person when they pass over or whatever, they have a signature. You know, like anything. You know, so if your dad comes back, he might have a favourite pipe, favourite fag.
I don't think these djinn are
people. I think they're different. I think they're on a different level. You know, but definitely. But
that's genius. So I want to know. I don't know my own three wishes, but I want to know if anyone out there knows what you'd wish for. what you'd wish for, that couldn't be mushed by a genie, you know, because it's got evil intentions.
Most people say, oh, I want to win a lottery.
Yeah.
You know. Well, you could, but then
you say that and you win a tenner.
Yeah, that's then it. What? See, you've got to be careful what you wish for.
Exactly. So I want to know.
You've got to work it out. People, or it could be the postcode lottery. Yeah, and you've got £5.
Anyone listening to this has got any idea what you'd wish for?
Yeah, just let us know. Just in case, because we all need to know, don't we? Let's do a survey.
Because if a genie pops up, we all need to know what we're going to wish for. But we can't fucking, you know,
but this genie could be a bit kind of, you know, bit
so you need to make sure you word it right.
You know.
But if you want to let us know, just go to, either go to the website, just type in Don't Break the Oath. All is one word, one phrase, I guess. But Don't Break the Oath
podcast.com. Yep.
Or... dbtopodcast@gmail.com. Just let us know what you wish for and I'll read them out on next week's show.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know.
So I'll so we'll move on to this listener story. And this comes from an Australian, isn't it?
Yeah.
Listener story. G'day.
G'day, mate.
I just offended all our Australian. Yeah. Incidentally, while I'm on Australia and other places, we've got a few listeners in Australia, we've got a few listeners in Norway, all over the world, really.
Fantastic.
On the website, we're going to have a fan wall. That sounds pretentious, but it's just called a fan wall, so people know what it is. So if you can, if you want to be on the wall, if you want to send us your picture, any picture, you know, it can be topless if you're a woman.
Well, no, that's a man.
If you're on a beach, I'll accept that. If you want to send a picture and let us know where you're from and a bit about yourself, whatever, then we'll put it on the wall.
Yeah, it's just like a little notice board.
Yeah, the easiest way to send that is going to be, you could do it through the website, but if you just send it in an email, dbtopodcast@gmail.com, all the information's in the show notes. Just if you're on the podcast app, all you do is click the picture and it just spins round and then you've got all the details there. Or if you're on Stitcher.
Just contact us.
I think Stitcher just does it all in a big line, doesn't it?
Yeah, Stitcher is a big line.
So if you're on Stitcher or wherever you're listening to the podcast, I mean, you'll find the podcast on
Facebook as well. So if you want to go through that, not a problem. We can do it through there.
And we've started a Facebook up now. Yeah, Facebook page. Hopefully get a few of you conversating about the shows and that.
Absolutely.
And we can carry it on, you know?
Yeah, definitely. But, right, onto this.
Obviously, I'll link that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, definitely.
But so this. This story then comes from a young lady by the name of Esme Young from, I think she was originally from Lincolnshire herself, and this took place in Spalding in Lincolnshire. And again, Lincolnshire being the home of the Lincolnshire Triangle, which is synonymous with UFOs and all that.
Yep.
Loads of crazy shit, black cats and that. So it pops up all over. So people around the world probably know the Lincolnshire, you know, that are into the paranormal, probably know Lincolnshire Triangle through that. But anyway. Yeah.
It could be researched anyway if they don't, so.
She tells me that this is the first time she let this story be known, you know. Because one of them things, and obviously she told me and we spoke about it a bit, and she found it a bit cathartic, I think. And it is, isn't it? I mean, because a lot of time when you tell stories and that, you just get ridicule, you get shit.
Even now, when I talk
to people about, I said, oh yeah, such and such person. Because I've got a friend who bumped into a big black cat.
Yeah, Tom,
you know, even if I tell that story, which is pretty mundane, people still say, oh, fucking full of shit, you're fucking bullshit.
Well, I'm afraid that's some of people's mentality.
So,
you know,
obviously, if she
brings it on this show, we understand.
Yeah,
so we can put it out.
So again,
it's like a trust like, isn't it?
Yeah, anyone else wants to share the story, you know where we are.
Yep,
but,
definitely.
She actually included maps as well of the way it took place. Which was pretty useful. So I just read it as it is and then we'll talk about it at the end if you want.
Yeah, definitely.
So she says, I grew up in the arse end of Lincolnshire, Spalding to be precise. The event happened in a place called Fleet Hargate in around 1994, so she would have been 11 years old at the time. She says, she was walking home, it was a really bright, sunny afternoon, okay?
Right, so...
So she was clad
visibility in... Visibility good.
Absolutely. She was clad in a school uniform, complete with her Doc Martens, which are boots.
Doc Martens boots.
And she says she remembered them because they gave her epic blisters. It was the first time she'd worn them, which they fucking
Bobber
do.
Boots, one of them.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Yeah.
So she said she was walking with a friend. I was casually walking home along this country lane. There was fields both sides of them, and just up ahead, there was a row of houses. They drew level with the houses and heard a knocking on the window. Looked up and saw a boy and a girl dressed in what can only be described as 1940s attire.
They looked at us and pointed to the field opposite the house. So we looked. So she looks up, kids in the window, pointing, look over there. So they turn away from the kids to look in this, into this field.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And even myself or my friend can recall what happened next. She describes a ghost Dalek, and Dalek being from
Doctor Who,
yeah. So most people would be
a ghost Dalek.
A ghost Dalek, yeah. That's what a friend described to her, you know. So she said, I just remember it was a mechanical looking thing. It made a loud noise and it frightened us, so we turned to run. That's all she can remember. And then she got back to her mum, she told her for being late. She was told off for being late back, so I wonder if there was some sort of missing time here as well.
I mean, she's 11 years old.
She says because we was told off for being late, even though we thought we'd only just left. So, seems like there's a bit of missing time there, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously, there's like a time slip here, isn't it? I'm getting a time slip feel here, like, you know what I mean?
I asked her a bit about this. I said, you know, what size was the Dalek, and she said it was about the size of like a, you know, a dustbin, like or a wheelie bin. Yeah,
as she in it feels. Did you ask her if she watched roughly, Doctor Who? Or,
yeah, well, obviously.
Well, I'm saying, you know, yeah, but some don't watch
she,
it. You know.
She said it was about 50 meters away from her,
right,
at the time, but it was about the size of
a dustbin,
and it was making loud noises and all that, and obviously worried them. But this is the interesting thing, right?
Mm.
They're both in the 30s now, her and a friend,
right?
Okay, and what's the odds on this? She moved away and a friend stayed in Lincolnshire, but they both were diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis in our legs, hips and wrists, which was told by the rheumatologist, is it?
Ooh.
That mine was so advanced that it looked like an 80-year-old, she had 80-year-old bones. Okay, I've also been diagnosed with chronic pain disease, fibromyalgia, and her friend is battling ME, and we've both also had skin cancer. So
we're talking some kind of radiation here.
Absolutely radiation, yeah. I would say.
Definitely radiation. Do you reckon it's this machine? Are you reckon?
Yeah, I think...
They together at the same time, aren't they? So obviously this... But that's they went through a time slip, but this machine wouldn't fit that time, would it? So I'm thinking here.
I think...
That machine wouldn't fit the 40s.
No, it wouldn't fit the 40s.
I'm saying, why was the machine there?
Yeah, that machine didn't resemble anything that we know, other than a Dalek. Yeah,
so. Obviously. What the Dalek.
But the children as well. I mean, we spoke a bit about this and we said, that, you know, I asked her, do you think those children were ghosts? Because obviously it was in 40s attire.
Yeah.
She said she wasn't sure. They seem real enough, but obviously...
Well, we've time slipped they seem real anyway.
Yeah, so maybe she did go from some sort. But
did you say that these children... pointed.
They knocked on the window and pointed to her. So
she was actually interacting with these children.
Absolutely, yeah.
So well, okay. So sometimes you get time slips. We know.
Yeah.
You go in time slip. They don't acknowledge you. You don't exist. You're just walking through. They just like they can't see you.
Yeah.
But this time, mostly these children.
Children see. So seem... it'd be interesting to find a picture of that area in the 1940s or thereabouts.
Yeah. I think you should really get back to us, and well, we can maybe go out there and investigate, mate. If we can get them pinpoint the exact same place.
Yeah, she can, and she says that it looks a bit different.
I've got my like dancing rods as well, so it'd be good to go out. I'll definitely check this out. Because
but there's definitely missing...
The Dalek seems a bit, to me...
There's an element of missing time, and what we can only describe as a UFO for now, this Dalek, because she didn't stay long enough to see if it went up in the sky or away, it was just there. Obviously, it was in a field, and she said it was totally unnatural. It was, you know, something she'd never seen before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Living in Spalding, you're going to see.
Did she say what it was saying or what it was?
No, it was just there. But obviously, they both were frightened by it, which is.
Was it making any noises?
Yeah, it was making a loud noise, yeah.
Mechanical noises?
Yeah, mechanical. Yeah. But she said, you know, was both frightened by it. And again, that's a gut instinct, isn't it? That's. Do you know what I mean? That's not sixth sense.
But we know with the time slips most of the time. We did a show on time slips and we did some bits and bobs. But with usual time slips, you usually come back and you're okay. But it's usually like if it's 1940s, you'll see all 1940s. You don't see a machine that's not apt with that year.
That makes me wonder if she saw a UFO, but it was
possible. Yeah,
it was.
She was thinking it's a UFO, but
So the kids could be ghosts, or they could just be kids. I mean, it could
they could have, you know, she might have said they looked like 1940s, but they could have just been kids that were just there, actually real.
I think also they saw it as well. They was in the house in the window, so they wouldn't come out the house.
No.
So there was pointing to where there. So they was in the house safe. Yeah.
It was like saying,
get out, don't go to the machine.
There was warning, either warning them or they wanted someone to confirm what they were seeing.
Yeah, these children didn't come out the house and say, you know, but they was like, I'm not going out there. So this machine, it would be really good if we could actually, you know, get out to this place, do some photos and see if we can pick
up. Because I remember there was a similar case in the States where there was two ladies who, there was underneath a UFO, stopped over the road and stopped the car, and they both ended up with skin cancers and all the rest of it.
So definitely radiation.
Tried to sue the American government because they tried to sue the Air Force because they said it was an Air Force, must have been an Air Force crash. But the Air Force denied having anything in the air, even though there was Chinooks came over. So there's a case in the States, like, similar thing.
Yeah, I'd definitely get back there and we could check it out. But it just seems really strange. I mean, I got radiation straight away in this machine. Obviously, they went so far. But I think these children saying, don't go there. What, you know, they very strange. But to get the same ailments and maybe a bit more worse than one than the other, then, you know, you don't usually, if you go in a time slip, you don't really interact.
That's not fundamentally associated with time slips.
No, it isn't, no. You don't. I mean, sometimes you can interact and you don't think.
But missing time is
UFO.
She's seen an unidentified object, which it is.
It could have been a kind of machine from a UFO.
It's a browning colour as well.
It could be the machine that they dropped down there or something. Some sort of
drone or
some
probe.
Drone, and this gave off the... But to be affected in a slip, you actually not live in there in that time. And then to actually... So, I said to you before, the past, the present, the future, we're going all together. Mm. That's my... That's a good thing on that way.
Time is a concept. So I think... I don't know, fascinating story.
Fascinating, mate, fascinating.
But, I don't know, I hope you feel better for sharing it anyway, because...
We can always come out and have a look, you know? That's if the lady... Good. Definitely have to follow up,
But that's it for Genius, and...
Hope you enjoyed it.
Next week, and send us your stories, that'd be great.
That's great. Thank you for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.